Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the Chase Thomas podcast. I am the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined by David Wurzburger up there in New York City. David, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Chase. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for being here, man. It's becoming a monthly spot that I am not opposed to. How was your holiday season thus far?
Pretty boring, which is, mm-hmm. I guess you should be happy about it under circumstances, you know. But wasn't like other holidays, but I got some nice gifts last night and the other night against Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. By way of my Knicks, so pretty happy about that.
Okay. Was that the best gift you got? Was Julius Randle being a psycho good player?
Being LeBron James light, yeah. I tried to bring that up to the mall Santa, and he said it was a little unrealistic. Mm-hmm. But here we are. So maybe it was a Christmas miracle after all.
The Julius Randle stuff, and we'll get into the Knicks in a little bit, because there's some weird stuff going on there that I don't know. You have a better perspective on that than me at the moment. Well, don't forget, folks, you can listen to the podcast on Apple, Spotify. Go check out ChaseThomasPodcast.com. Follow David at _Vert. Follow myself at Chase_Thomas. I want to get into first some early surprises. So I have one team for an early surprise in terms of who I think is better, a lot better really than I thought they'd be, and then a team that I'm really surprised have been as bad as they've been. I think the Wizards are the common refrain for the latter, but I'm not really all that surprised that they're struggling at the moment. But for me, the better is the Magic. Do you have the Magic as a team that you're surprised is better than you expected coming into the year?
4-0 is definitely unexpected. They weren't my number one team up there, mm-hmm. but I did in that sort of pack of the, let's say the play-in teams plus like the 7 and 8 seed, maybe that sort of pack in the East. I did always value them a little highly compared to the rest, just because, you know, they're coming back with a lot of the same roster. I think Fultz is really growing, and he's shown that in the early games. Like, he's been a big part of their success. I don't know. They're just around. They're just there, and they're solid, and they're well coached, and they do what they have to every night. And it's probably not a start that'll last, but I'm not overly shocked at them sneaking in a quick undefeated record.
What's interesting to them? So I was thinking about their 4-0 record, and I think it's just them and the Hawks, just like everyone expected, the two undefeated teams left standing here.
Of course.
I think they're benefiting from Jonathan Isaac not being on the floor for them, because if they are not going to move Gordon anytime soon, then it's just the overlap was just present, and it's an odd fit. It's a clunky fit. Vooch is always camping out at the top of the key. You have Gordon bringing the ball up sometimes. They don't have a lot of shooting, but they play like a team that has a lot of shooting. Terrence Ross catches really cool lobs. Markel has just turned into a really solid point guard. Nekias Duncan had a really good piece on him at Basketball News, so I encourage everybody to check him out there, because Fultz is not shooting well. Like, he's not a shooter, and he probably won't be. He's still not getting to the line nearly enough, but he's really good at navigating pick and roll now. He's evolving on that aspect. He's playing really good defense. He's passing really well. He's smart. Like, he's doing a lot of cool stuff, but like, he's not going to be like a star. Like, he's doing everything except the most important part of being a lead guard in today's NBA, which is shoot. And I don't think that's coming, but, you know, maybe. But it just, they're smart. Like you said, they're just playing solid basketball, and they're well coached, but they're driving and kicking a bunch. They're hitting shots they need to, but they also just don't play anyone bad. And this was like the reason that I thought the Pacers would be fine this year, is that like, there's something we said in the regular season where if you don't have a bad rookie or just a bad player in your rotation, then you're just going to win. You're going to stumble into a lot of regular season wins. And they are stubbornly competent, is the way I would describe the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. It's an interesting rule you have there with the no rookie or player out there. They're weirdly seasoned because it's sort of, it feels like for years they've been the, you know, sort of up and coming, like, oh, they're sneaking into the playoffs now. Yeah. Will they build off these sort of young guys? But they're like a veteran team now. They're, you know, they're pretty deep with guys that have been around, that have been to multiple playoffs, you know. Could be the year it clicks into something a little more than a first round out, but definitely have to wait and see more before we jump to that.
Yeah, no, I'm not a believer. I still think they're going to fall back. I am not a believer. No. Let me just go ahead and say, this offense, I still don't think is going to be... I just don't think it's sustainable. I really don't think the offense in the way I'm watching. I just don't know where all the points are coming from. But in your team, who is your team that you have as an early surprise on the better end?
This was another team that sort of coming in, I thought we're going to gel a little better than they look on paper. Cleveland, off to their own nice little start. 3-1. What's that?
Sexland,
yes. Sexland. Oh, man. Yeah, those two guys are definitely played well. I mean, I just like how the pieces fit coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought those two had a lot of potential. And then, you know, Drummond's just a really nice, solid piece at the center position. He's expanding his game a little more this year, too, shooting more threes, which I don't know if it's a big part of their success, but it's just an interesting little note there. And, you know, they haven't had Love for a little bit. That hurts them. But other guys have stepped up. I mean, I like Nance off the bench. I like Chetty. I like Okoro, who we also haven't seen much of. I think once they have a full, healthy roster, they can sort of be that feisty. We had that one Sun season with Bledsoe and Dragic where they almost made the playoffs. We had that one King season where they almost made the playoffs. I can see the Cavs like making a play-in game and causing a little ruckus or just being a feisty team throughout the year. And they've shown that so far.
They kind of remind me of the Grizzlies last year, where the young guys are popping a little bit earlier than you would have expected with Jackson and Ja. I don't necessarily believe in this. I think they're 3-1. I think you're right about the Love injury hurting them, but Lance, I think, is the better player at this point, but he was playing like 40-plus minutes last night. They're very thin. No Okoro, no Love, not a lot of depth there. Exum can't shoot. They have Dotson playing a lot of minutes. I don't love their situation there, but...
There was a problem with Dotson playing a lot of minutes.
I'm not a Dotson guy. Are you a Dotson guy?
Not a Dotson guy. I'm a big Dotson guy.
Okay, not a Dotson guy. More of a Langston Galloway aficionado, if you will, David.
Ooh, nice.
That is for the NBA Twitter sphere. I don't know. I think they're good. They're solid. Like, are you a JB Bickerstaff guy? Like, I'm not betting on anything there. I just can't do it. Has he had a winning season yet in the NBA?
Yeah, so coming in, that was one thing holding me back a bit. But I don't know. It seems like he's been doing all the right things with this team.
Yeah.
Again, it's still early. I'd like to ask you once we go through the teams that are worse off than expected, I'd like to see which of all the teams mentioned you feel is the most real, the most glued to reality 70 games from now.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. We'll get to it. On the negative end, teams that are worse than we expected. For me, it's the Raptors. I thought they would take a step back, and it did. It's always interesting to go back because the teams that we don't have the the balls to just say are going to implode or going to take a big step back because we're just like, well, no one wants to just feel hot take here or anything like that anymore. And a lot of people like Hollinger had the Raptors taking a step back to like the 6 or 7 seed. And I was reading different things and I'm like, yeah. And we all were kind of nervous about replacing Gasol and Ibaka with Aaron Baines and Alex Lynn. And then they just paid OG because Giannis is obviously staying. So they don't have to worry about the cap room there. Fred VanVleet just got paid. Lowry's a year older. Pascal, can he really get better than what he was last year? And then you look at it, and he's like 8-for-23 last night. Fred VanVleet's not shooting well. Lowry is not going nuclear offensively. And you're like, oh, right. This is an easy avenue to seeing how the Raptors can really start to fall off a cliff here. And you already got Masai and his contract looming over the next year. I'm suddenly not like hitting the panic button in Toronto, but I'm like, I think they're in real trouble. And like blowing three games where they had a double digit lead, first time in NBA history a team has done this to start off the season. Like, this is like, I had the Celtics as the team most likely to have the season from hell this year in the East, but I think it might be the Raptors.
Definitely possible. I mean, we haven't seen Pascal make a lot of the, it seems like every year leading up to this one, it's been like an exponential stride between each year with him. And now it's sort of the development sort of plateaus a little with him right now, or, you know, at least so far as we've seen. I think the scary thing with the Raptors is they're like one bad injury away from really being dry of talent. Mm-hmm. The good thing is, if you're a Raptors fan, even if this season is only a seventh and eighth seed, even if you miss the playoffs, honestly, I feel like they're so well positioned and their development program is so good. Next year, when Chris Boucher is fully evolved, and you know, you have guys like Bembry or Stanley Johnson, one of these guys that can break out. You know, you're bringing Malachi Flynn. I just think they're a young and improving team at this. It's weird. They went from like champions in 2019 to, okay, they're still good. And now they can sort of, you know, sit on that high line where they're rebuilding these young guys, developing these young guys to build future contenders. And they still have these layovers like Lowry, like Siakam, like Van Vliet that can keep them competitive right now. So it's weird. I mean, the 0-3 start is rough. They can easily have a path to being underwhelming. I think they bounce back. I think that team is just way too well coached, well cultured. Just the dogs on that team, like they're gonna fight for every win. I think like Raptors fans have a lot to look forward to in the future, even if the team flames out. Like, they just have a lot of good things going for them and a lot of flexibility.
Yeah. So who do you have as your biggest surprise on the negative end?
I had Washington, but then he said that's the favorite. Like, I really didn't think they'd be. Come on, he can beat them. Even if I get, like, you know, you're throwing a new piece in the mix, it's always an adjustment. Lose the Bulls, some Magic twice. What's going on here? And granted, I haven't watched enough of them to give a full, you know, breakdown of what's been their issue. It's a little backwards when you look at the actual team statistics, because they're actually better. I believe they're ranked better on defense than they are on offense, which is not really. I was just saying, yeah, 23rd on offense, 20th on defense. Obviously, a small sample size, but that's not exactly what you did. Granted, they're just bad. They're both, yeah, you know, 20 and 23rd. But yeah, they were my pick. I really thought they were a shoo-in for one of those last East spots, probably an 8th spot or 9th spot. It's hard to see them continuing this way, but I could be wrong.
Well, it's not good that Bradley Beal is already opting out of media Zoom calls post-game. That's probably not a good sign for Scotty Brooks.
Not a good sign. Find what you want.
I didn't have Scott Brooks as first coach fired. I had Ryan Saunders before the year, but I still think Saunders is getting canned. And did you see Rubio's comments last night?
I did not.
Okay, Rubio, not a fan of the way the Timberwolves are playing right now. The nicest way possible, just being like, yeah, no, we're awful. And I don't know. With Towns out, they could. They're not a playoff team. They're going to slide. And I don't know. I still think Saunders is probably the first coach fired. But I don't know. When I watched the Wiz Sixers to open up the season, and like the Wiz were up most of that game, and they just threw it away late. And Westbrook was in that game, and you watched how they played. But like, I keep going back to Shark's piece on The Ringer. Did you read his piece on like how they're building around Beal and like their draft and like what they're doing just doesn't make any sense?
I think it's in my pocket.
Okay. I would highly encourage everyone to read that, because it kind of outlines why the Wizards are 0-4 at the moment, which is Denny and Rui and Thomas Bryant and the guys that they have, and Troy Brown Jr. and the guys they've surrounded Beal and Westbrook with, are the exact opposite kind of fits that they needed, because they needed shooters. None of those guys are shooters. None of those guys are knockdown 3-and-D guys. Like, they don't have any of those people. And the fit is just bad. There's just a lot of bad fits everywhere. And it's not, like, once I read that, I was just like, and then you watch it in practice and you're like, Yeah, I don't. I like these players individually. Like, I like Denny individually. I like Thomas Bryant individually. I like Bradley Beal individually. I don't know if I like Russell Westbrook individually. I don't know. I just think this is probably something that's not going to get fixed. I don't think there's a quick fix on this roster. I think Scott Brooks, man, hope you're winning.
There is a shooting team you could put around. Like, Thomas Bryant can sort of shoot. Denny can sort of shoot. You have Bertans. The rest of the roster.
Well, Bertans isn't even healthy, and I think that's a problem too, right? Like, he's only playing like 20 to 20 minutes, and he's getting his conditioning back. Like, he's not even close to being normal.
Yeah, I think he'll probably open up a lot once he's 100%, and maybe Denny once he's shooting well to start off the season, just not a whole lot.
Yeah, but they're not shooters. They're not guys who don't need the ball in their hands. Like, Denny needs the ball in his hands. Rui needs the ball in his hands, and like, Bryant needs finishers. Like, Troy Brown was someone who is part of his appeal is just because of how good he is with the ball in his hands. Like, all these guys are actually pretty solid when they're creating for themselves, but they're not knockdown shooters who don't need the ball to be as effective as they could be. Like, I just feel like they needed a lot more Danny Green types, and they got a lot of just combo guard, combo forward types.
Yeah. Let's see if they can make use of what they have, or if there's a trade looming.
I mean,
don't work out.
Yeah, I don't know. The Wizards are kind of in a weird spot now because, I mean, you just acquired... Say it again?
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I don't know, because if you trade Beal... I don't know. It's still just so early. We're 4 games in for them. They could still right the ship, I think, at least to the point where they could still get into the playoff playing game conversation. But shorter season, you have less room for error for these seasons. And like, you losing to the Magic, who are probably still a playing game contender, the losing tiebreakers like that is important. And I don't know. I think trading Westbrook is a non-starter probably for this team, and like, who other teams are going to around the league look at. But Beal, I don't know. It's very, very interesting, because Beal will probably be a lot more interesting to teams now that Giannis has signed the Supermax, because he seems like someone who stands to gain a lot, or the Wizards stand to gain a lot, and Tommy Shepard, their GM, is probably enjoying that, because teams who crossed off Beal because they were eyeing Giannis, like Dallas or Miami or whoever, are now probably going to be more open to settling for Beal because they know that Giannis is not coming. So I think the Wizards, if you're a Wizards fan, that is something that you have to think about positively, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to try and roll with these two for now, maybe do a marginal move and see how it goes if they make a postseason before anything radical like that. But it's also, you look at the East and like, who's really going to replace them? Even if they're worse than expected, you know, they're not at 500, or they're just under 500, something like that. I don't see the Hornets replacing them, the Bulls, Detroit's 0-4, the New York Knicks, maybe the New York Knicks.
Well, we'll get to the Knicks, because I have some Knicks thoughts, and I'm sure you do too.
I know.
What was the question you wanted to pose to me? And I'll flip it back to you. Yeah.
Yeah, of all the teams that have outperformed, underperformed expectations, or just not met your expectations, which early start do you think will reflect the rest of the season?
I think the Pistons are going to be the worst team in basketball. Having watched 2 of their games, they're fucking atrocious. Like, this team is built horribly. They're awful. They're not going to score enough. I like Killian Hayes a little bit. Like, I think he might be a thing, but no, they're absolutely going to be the worst team in basketball. Like, I think that is real. The 0-4 start is real. They are awful. And then something I do think is real is, you're going to love this, as the Pacers guy, the 3-1 Pacers, I think is real. I think they're going to be in the top 4 seeds come playoff time, because they are playing, health permitted, they are playing Brogdon, they are playing Oladipo, they're playing TJ Warren, Sabonis and Turner, a shitload of minutes, and then their only bench guys are the Holidays and McDermott. That 8-man rotation is winning a shit ton of regular season games. Like, that is unbelievable competency That is how you do it. And I think they're just going to roll into, like, the, I guess, the whatever pace for an 82-game season. Like, they're going to roll into that 50-48 win total. And I do believe it's real.
That is a solid 1-8. I think Brooklyn's first two games are very real.
Mm-hmm.
No, we haven't talked about them at all. I think...
are you concerned about Dinwiddie?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of messed up because it seems like the conversation always pivots to, like, his trade worth. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Stuxy got injured. Could have really flipped him for guys we really need. But, yeah, that was a nice piece they had. And it sucks for him. You know, he's a really likable guy and a really nice player. So, you know, wish it doesn't happen. But that's going to affect them. I still think they're so incredibly deep, mm-hmm. you know, on both sides of the ball, honestly. Like, Durant looked, when he's looked locked in defensively, he looks like the old Durant there too, which is pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very real. And I guess Detroit, though, Detroit being this bad isn't under anything what I expected when I saw their roster compilation. It's so weird because if you look at, like, any individual move, it's really not even that bad, but just the collective offseason they had and what they did to this roster is such a mess.
It is. It's just it feels like they have 19 moves to make. It just doesn't work. And they're just going to be bad. But that's good. They might win the Cade Cunningham sweepstakes or something. The Nets.
I just
want
to believe in myself in a way that Jeremy Grant believes in himself as an offensive creator. Like that's. I just want to have that level of confidence in something. I can't do it all whatsoever.
No, see, I want Julius Randle confidence. Julius Randle is next level Galaxy brain confidence. That is, that guy, like you said, looking like LeBron. Like, what even is that stat line last night? He played, like, what, 44 minutes? Him and Reggie Bullock, 40-plus minutes apiece. Tibbs being in the NBA is necessary. Tibbs running it just an insane amount with Bullock and company is wild. What do you even make of watching this Tibbs coach Knicks team?
He's trotting out creative lineups that I have not seen out of the Knicks in a few years, probably. That gives me a lot of
hope. Give me
an
example.
The defense has things like, you know, for the sort of 6'6", 6'8" wings, like Barrett Burks, Bullock, and like Nilekina, or one of the other ones I'm blanking on. You throw them out with Noel, or you threw them out with Randall at center once as well. Last night, he had a nice little Nilekina plus Peyton. I think it was Barrett and Noel at the center. It was just a nice mixture of defense and passing and spacing. I like some of the things he's done there. You know, the Knicks look like more of a competent basketball team. I don't know. It looks like they're finally being coached, and it seems like guys are really being held accountable. And obviously, this is early, so we have to wait and see what sticks when they have their first bad losing streak. If they have a bad losing streak, who knows? But yeah, I've liked them so far. I mean, the minutes thing was interesting last night. It was an 8-man rotation. Before Burks was out, it was a 9-man rotation. And yeah, it's going to sound crazy, but your rule is don't have any bad rookies or bad players in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as much as we make fun of Randall and Noel, yeah, these aren't, but like Noel's a decent player. Randall's fine. Burks is good. You know, Toppin and Quickly are hurt. Even when they're in the rotation, I think they've done pretty well thus far. And without them in the rotation, you really have just NBA guys. Bullock, yeah. Peyton, Barrett.
They're not young. That's like a missed cue when people talk about the Knicks right now. It's like, no, they're not young. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, no, yeah. Tibbs is playing a bunch of competent veterans and then like RJ. That's it.
Yeah. And Mitch. And Mitch. Solid minutes out of Mitch for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are just solid NBA guys, and they seem to be running a lot more fluid offense, you know, making the extra pass. And yeah, I've got no complaints thus far.
Have you moved on from Frankie Smokes and Kevin Knox? Because those guys are in the rotation, and I don't know what to think about either of them at this point. But Frankie Smokes was just unplayable, just with how bad his offense was in the last 2 years. But Knox, obviously not developing well. Part of it's probably not his fault. But have you checked out from any of them being like competent long-term pieces for the Knicks?
No, I mean, I will say Milikina in his fourth year now doesn't look like he's made, I want to say, how do I call it? I guess the mental stride. Like, he hasn't flipped the switch where he's like, I need to be a threat offensively. Like, not I need to score, I need to score 20, whatever. Like, I need to be able to make the defense fear me offensively, that I can't shoot, that I can't score. He had a fine couple of games, you know, Milwaukee garbage time, he had 4 threes, and then last night he just solid backup point guard minutes. So I think he has a future in this league, and I think he's going to be a really good player. But for him to break out, he needs to flip that switch mentally. Knox, also a guy that, you know, I felt like the skill was there. You saw the talent, and it was just he needed to learn how to do the right things on the NBA court. And he, like, actually looks like an NBA player this season. A lot of the small little flashes we've seen coming together, his playmaking skills, he's really nice on the pick and roll. His shooting's looking good right now. The defense is totally playable. He's making plays there. Random cuts. He looks like a high IQ, solid role player right now. So things are really looking up with him.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see just how this all unfolds. And also, Barrett playing, I mean, not even just Barrett, but Bullock playing well, Julius Randle playing well, Peyton playing well is good for you, because like that's a potential asset flip, right? Like, if Randle can talk a team that's trying to pseudo contend or looking at options, they, like, we need another rotation piece to make us a little bit more versatile come playoff time, like, he is someone that smart teams probably target, like the Nuggets. They're like, hey, we lost too much on the wing with Craig and Grant, hey, let's go call the Knicks about Reggie Bullock and see if what we have to tie to get him into our rotation for the playoffs. Like, I think it's good that Tibbs is maximizing his vets, because I don't think all of them will be there, and I think smart teams will look at that and go, okay, at the deadline, we're going to push these guys out and see what kind of offers we can get for them, because right now they're playing at a point where you're like, oh yeah, smart teams are going to give up an asset for at least a couple of these guys.
Yeah, and I like the idea of flipping Bullock or Burks for a pick, but I'll tell you, if Randle keeps this up, and when I say, obviously he can't average triple-double.
He can't be LeBron? Shooting.
He can't be LeBron. He can't be ungodly from three-point range, but if this new passing thing, I'm going to really create more for my guys, and it's not going to be just quickly looking to score and taking bad shots. If the way he's playing the game, not his actual performance, remains the same through 70 games, I'd want the Knicks to look at keeping him.
That's fair. Ja, he's out 3 to 5 weeks. Ankle sprain, came down weird in that Nets Grizz game. Losing Ja, does that mean, can we cross off the Grizzlies from the playoffs at this point?
In a shortened season, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, especially in the West, to get through that. I mean, Ja is their team. Whenever he went to the bench, they just got destroyed so far this season. I think that was the case last season, too. It might take someone random, like a Desmond Bane stepping up, to keep them afloat, to take some of these games where Jaws and playing, but yeah, it's definitely easy to scratch them off right now, and you'd probably be smart for doing so.
It's sad, but I had them as a step back team this year, and I wasn't a believer, especially with Jackson being out to start the year. It seems like they got a little bit worse. Are you a Dylan Brooks guy? Because I'm not a Dylan Brooks guy, and now his usage rate is about to climb far more, because I think this was a team that just was like an equal opportunity offense. Like, Taylor Jenkins came from the school of Bud, where they played kind of like the Hawks in the from like 5 years ago, but now some, like, Jaws' usage rate I think was over 30 prior to him getting hurt this season, and that's a new thing, is like him being like, all right, I'm Derrick Rose now, and that's great. But when he's out, you're like, oh god, Tyus Jones is now starting, and Tyus Jones is not going to have a usage rate over 30. So I'm just trying to figure out, when you look at this group, where the offense is coming from, because someone's going to have to finish possession. Someone's going to have their ball in their hands a lot more than they would like. And who is the option here when you look at this roster and you're like, oh God, it's Dylan Brooks. If you're a fantasy guy, I guess, then yeah, you love this, because he's going to be jacking up a ton of stuff. But I think this is going to get really bad and really ugly for the next month for the Grizzlies. I think they're in real trouble of, like, really falling off a cliff.
Yeah, you like Julius Randle's confidence. Wait till you see Dylan Brooks' confidence.
I know. There, man. I'm not a fan.
I don't know if I'm a Dylan Brooks guy. I'm not a Dylan Brooks guy. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
Are you?
I think he can be pretty good. I think he does things. It's hard to articulate.
That's what I don't like about Dylan Brooks. He intentionally takes hard shots. Like, that guy lives for contested shots. He cannot help himself. I think he thinks he's CJ McCollum, but CJ McCollum is a master at this sorcery of making difficult, weird-looking shots. Dylan Brooks is not CJ McCollum. Like, I think Taylor Jenkins needs to sit him down, look him in the eye, and be like, "You are Danny Green. You will not dribble. You will fly off screens. You will take open corner threes. That is it. Stop it. Stop taking CJ McCollum shots. Stop making life really hard on yourself."
See, but I would trust him to dribble and penetrate over Danny Green. So yeah, that's at least a step. That is at least a step. I brought this up with a buddy. I think the Grizzlies, if this guy is on the trade market, they should be looking at getting Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a really nice fit next to Ja.
Are the Kings going to look to move him, though? Because the Kings, 3-1.
Yeah, at this point, true, yeah.
Have you watched any Halliburton yet?
You said Halliburton?
Yeah, have you watched any of him this season yet?
Bits and pieces.
Yeah, pretty good.
I like him.
He's good.
I'm a Halliburton guy.
Marvin Bagley quietly scoring in double figures every game he's played this year. Kings are fine.
And that's a little group. If they can stay healthy and be coached well, I don't think there's plenty of talent there. It's hard to. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is. I feel like he might be one of the more underrated point guards in the league.
Yeah, I think so too. It's just like, what is his ceiling? Like, is he still somebody that you could see being a top 10 player in this league? Like, that's the tough stuff for the Kings, is that they're going to have to. I mean, if you're the Kings, I think you just look at this season as, like, if we can even get the playoffs, like, or in the playoff game, like, the season is a success based on what they've been the last 20 years. I look at the roster and I'm like, does anyone still profile to be, like, a top 5, top 10 player in the league? And I don't think so. Does that necessarily mean that they should not just still continue on with Fox and Bagley and Halliburton and Heal? No. Like, I think they should still try and achieve competency. And, like, if they have, like, a 4 to 5 year playoff run where they're just spicy and fun and give the fans some playoff games to enjoy before they reevaluate where they are as a franchise and just go, hey, we've probably maximized what we can do with this core. Yeah, that's fine. I don't think their upward mobility is as high as, like, the Sun, depending on what Devin Booker becomes and Aiden becomes. Like, I don't think Bagley and those guys really profile as game changers in the playoffs where it's like, oh yeah, this can be your best player on a contender.
Yep. That's fair. I mean, there's also so much can happen at any point. Yeah, they can bundle those guys for the next superstar that's upset about where they are. They can, you know.
Well, hold on. It's the Kings. Hold on, David. They're not trading for a superstar. No. When was the last time the Kings traded for a superstar? Was it Weber?
One with very little amounts of leverage.
Oh, man. I guess James Harden, if you were the Rockets at this point, who are winless, like, do you just send him to Sacramento?
Out of spite? I like that. It's pretty funny.
I mean, I would spite trade Harden. I would. You're screwed anyway. Like, the Rockets are absolutely screwed no matter what they do at this point. Raphael Stone is screwed. Steven Silas is screwed. Like, this franchise is 100% screwed for the next 5 years. I would just...
They haven't put themselves in the best position, but after what I've seen Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson do to the Brooklyn Nets, I refuse to believe any team is unsavable.
That's true.
They picked up off post Billy King. Though Billy King is last year wasn't so bad, but, like, all the picks gone, all the assets gone. You had Brooke Lopez and I don't really know what else, and they managed to turn that around.
Yeah, but it took time. It took years.
It did take time.
I don't think the James Harden trade is just going to be so sad. I think it's going to be really, really sad. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Last thing I want to touch on, the Warriors, their lack of shooting. We've seen the jokes about Oubre and company missing just an unbelievable amount of threes. And the Warriors bench reacting last night to Oubre's first three was fantastic. No Draymond, which I think people are forgetting. So they're 500 now. They're 2-2. They're surviving. Steph just doing everything he possibly can. But it's just, this team is just not deep. And you look at this roster and you're like, oh my God, when Draymond's not there, like Clay not being there is one thing, but like no Draymond either. It's just tough. Like it's really, really hard to survive, especially in the West. And they have guys that Pascal, I don't know if you're a Pascal guy. I'm not really a Pascal guy. Damian Lee is having to have big nights for them to be good. Like Wiggins, when he's on, that's huge for them. But that's how it's going to be. Like he'll have one game every five games where he goes nuclear and like 5 for 8 from three like he did last night and playing really well. But Wiseman looking really good. Like the Wiseman stuff, I think, is real. And he is in a perfect situation for him. But when Wiseman and Draymond are on the floor together defensively, I think the Warriors are going to be I don't know. I think they're just going to be in that 8-seed race because Wiseman and Draymond, I think, are just, they're going to keep this defense going. But I think the offense is, I don't think you can save this offense this year.
I think Kerr needs to do a little, because it seems like the Warriors just want to sort of keep in place a lot of the same tenets of their offense that they have the past couple of years when they had these guys play and better wings that were passer shooters, you know, drivers that could do all these things. I think it just needs to make some adjustments, like actually change the system, because I don't think guys like Oubre and Wiggins are really built for it. Like they're built for guys like Clay, who plays very differently than a Wiggins or an Oubre. But I think there's even a decent offense here. Putting Draymond in there definitely helps. The lack of high IQ sort of passing and ball movement has definitely been missed. I think once he gets in there, that'll definitely help. I don't think it shouldn't be as big a train wreck as it seemed. It doesn't make, because you know, all the jokes about Wiggins, all the jokes about Oubre, but they're NBA guys. They're NBA talent. They can start on plenty of other teams, I'm sure. I think it's just going to take her a few weeks, and once Draymond's back, we'll finally get to see this team get on track. But they're another one that's just like you said, not deep and one injury away. They've already had so many that I don't even want to knock on wood right now, but they're very, very fragile in the depth department.
Their schedule is not great. So let me give you some games that are coming up. They got the Blazers on Friday, the Blazers on Sunday, the Kings on Monday on a back-to-back, the Clippers on Wednesday, the Clippers on Friday, the Raptors on that following Sunday, and then the Pacers that Tuesday.
It's a little rough.
We're going to learn a lot about the Warriors in the next 2 weeks is what I am saying. So keep that in mind, folks, as they're 500 right now, but they've been playing some worse competition at this point, and I'm going to be very fascinated to see what happens here and when Draymond comes back. But yeah, any other NBA notes and things that you would like to touch on before we wrap up here, David?
No, I don't think I had anything.
I don't either. The Hawks are awesome. That is something that I'm very much enjoying.
Yeah.
The Hawks are awesome.
That's a little young team. They just have, I feel like the Hawks, and there are other teams, I'm trying to think now off the top of my head, because the Hawks just have like 8 dudes that are in that like nice small forward, power forward height range, you know, the 6'6", 6'8". They can all shoot, and they can defend a little bit, they can dribble and pass a little bit, and they just have a ton of them. Like their worst one, Solomon Hill, you can still trot out there, you know. And they have all these young ones, and you have all these, and I feel like you just keep rotating that, you know, against opposing defenses and trying to stop them from hitting these shots that are being created off Trey. That's just a lot to deal with. I think it's really nice benefit to have, and other teams also seem to stock up that way, and it's paid dividends for them too.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. Trey's playing at another level, and it's just nice that they're still taking out the rotation. Bogdan just went out of the starting lineup, and Cam, I'm a big Cam guy, so we'll see what happens there with this development. But yeah, they're just, they're, my theory, competent players, and it's a competent rotations go a long way in the regular season. So
how about OKC even being competitive a little bit?
Shea is so much fun. I love SGA like that. Watching him and last night against the Magic, so I watched that back this morning. He does everything, and he's so much of a better shooter than I thought he was going to be in the NBA. But him and Dort and that group, Bazley is still fun on pick and roll stuff. But yeah, that team should not be playing that well at this point. I mean, they're like 1-2, but they're competent, and Shea is very good. And shout out to him for keeping it going, even with everybody being gone and just a team where they're like, hey, can you lose these games? Because we have a bunch of picks and we want to be bad.
Yeah. They also have a lot of these like nice little wings. You mentioned Dort. I like Bazley. Kendrick Williams is a nice pickup.
Mm.
Yes, the rookie Poku, the exciting little prospect there.
I'm not going to lie. They had a lot of guys on the court at times last night that I was just like, who the fuck is this? Like, they're a classic who the fuck is this team, where you're just like, they're going to have some G League call-ups and stuff like that during the season where I'm just like, I have no idea who's on the floor right now for the Thunder.
Next inside the NBA, they should just have Charles Barkley try and name members of this roster instead of doing the, you know, whose team, who does he play for?
Yeah, just like how many could he name off the OKC roster at this moment? I think that would be a fun thing. David, is there anything you would like to plug before we wrap up here tonight?
You mentioned my Twitter, _Verts. I'm writing some Knicks stuff at SNY and hopefully other stuff elsewhere coming soon.
All right. Happy to hear it. Thank you for the time, as always, good sir. For that guy up there in New York, David Wurzburger, for myself down here in Knoxville, Tennessee. That is all I've got, but another episode coming tomorrow. Thank you, as always, and talk to y'all soon.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.